Fight!
Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
And I'm Nolan.
And this is episode 53. So I want to start this episode really raw, really honest, and as shameless or shameful as possible. Kenny, Nolan, have you ever played a game of Dungeons and Dragons?
I know Kenny has. I'm just going to go ahead and assume that much.
What is that supposed to mean?
It means that you're a total dweeb, and you've definitely
played Dungeons and Dragons. We're pulling out the D word already?
Sorry. No, I've never played, but like, I totally would. I just never have because...
You've just never been invited?
You guys never invited me to play because I know that you did some weird thing online for a while, or at least tried to.
Kenny, what is he talking about?
I'm just saying accurate shots fired.
Okay.
Yeah. Even outside of Dustin, your weird short-term obsession with us trying to make D&D a thing that we actually did even though we didn't. And then we picked it really hard and it was awesome.
The streaming market of Dungeons and Dragons games, and it was just you two.
Even outside of that, I have had minimal but actual real-life experience.
There was about a three-week span where I was intrigued, and it might have even stretched to 4 weeks, and in that time, I don't think I've ever played like a legit game of Dungeons & Dragons, but during those 3 weeks, I read the entire D&D handbook, I played a few one-shots online, and then I did this something with Kenny that doesn't even count, does it?
It counts.
It doesn't count at all.
You read the entire thing?
Yeah, I was really interested in it.
Oh my gosh.
And it's not even a handbook you're supposed to read all the way through. It's one that you're supposed to reference.
It's like a reference guide. Yeah. Oh, great. I would play it, but like I said, I didn't get invited, so...
You called Kenny a dweeb, but it's not just for uber nerds that are like 40 years old and still living in their mother's basements. There are many famous and extremely successful D&D players.
It's mainstream now too, anyways. Like Stranger Things redeemed it for everybody.
Oh, that was the thing before then? You have to be a dweeb?
Yeah. But then that got crazy popular, and so now everybody, like it's cool.
But that's fine.
Again.
That's fine.
Yeah, but even before then, there were people that played this game like professional basketball player Tim Duncan and Late Show host Stephen Colbert and Fast and Furious actor Vin Diesel, although I don't think that helps the case any. But also...
It doesn't.
There was Michael Cranford, who developed, designed, and programmed our retro game of the week, The Bard's Tale.
Overview.
All right, Bard's Tale was developed by Michael Cranford. This guy was heavily involved in creating this game, and it's a role-playing game. It's based on Dungeons & Dragons, if you haven't picked up on that yet. It was released in 1985, and by Interplay Productions. That's who distributed the game. And it's also inspired by a game series called Wizardry, which I had never heard of, but it's a pretty big deal. Kenny probably knows. And so, like, it pulls heavily from that and Dungeons & Dragons, but still stands alone as its own thing. It was originally supposed to be called Tales of the Unknown, and that was supposed to be, like, the series title, where the first game was going to be Tales of the Unknown, The Bard's Tale, and then Tales of the Unknown 2, I think The Thieves' Tale, you know, like, just hitting different characters. But Bard's Tale stuck and is the series name now, so... it's originally released for the Apple II. So we've played a couple Apple II games, but this one, we'll get into it, but it felt pretty different to me. It was also ported to several systems, Commodore 64, some Apple II sequels. Actually, it was a DOS release that was like a collection of the trilogy later on, and for Mac as well. So it's a PC game, pretty much, if you want to label it as one of those consoles. It's a PC game. Basically, you have your party and of six, and you have to traverse through this town called Scarabray,
I think, yeah.
Okay. And it's a village that has been sieged by this evil wizard the surrounding land has been frozen and you're basically trapped. So the concept is actually really interesting to me, and I like the story behind it. So you're having to go through this city and go through dungeons, and it's a text-based game too, so you know you're not getting like crazy animations for battle, and so it really does feel like a game of D&D while still being a video game.
Now, text-based, but you do see graphics, you do see images.
It's not text-based. Yeah, you've got images that actually do move, like walking down a hallway, and you can see like the doors and the village like is shown on screen in the corner. But as far as like your actions that you take, it's text-based, and so that's, I mean, a large part of the game is just reading and knowing what to input.
Now, I believe there's only 5 dungeons. You've got the kind of the overworld map that you're traversing to get to each of these dungeons, but to actually beat the game, which there is some kind of story with it and there is some kind of progression with it, that you have to clear these dungeons in order. And as most games, obviously, the dungeons get increasingly more difficult. And so you've got to take the experience and the items that you gain from dungeon 1 to be able to conquer dungeon 2, and then the experience, the items, the keys, the whatever it might be, to then conquer dungeon 3. And you go through the game until you get to the final dungeon, which holds the final boss, which there's, by the way, the story is, I mean, really simple. There's an evil wizard threatening this little city, this little village, and he froze the outside world so that this town is all alone, can't get any outside help. But there is a group of untrained, unproven young adventurers that are still in the village, and they have to team together to be able to conquer the evil, malevolent forces that are threatening Scarabray.
Yeah, it's set up just like a scenario, I assume, from D&D. Like, I've never played, but you kind of have those decisions to make.
I feel like you're going to keep making sure everybody knows you never played by the time this podcast is over.
Just to reiterate, guys, I'm totally not a dweeb. I've never played Dungeons and Dragons. No. Like, well, I mean, I haven't. I'll probably say it a couple more times. I'm assuming, for all you nerds, that you have to pick choices going through the story, and you kind of, it's up to you to make your own adventure, blah, 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 whatever.
Blah, 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 Dungeons and Dragons dweebs, whatever.
I'm going to get a lot of hate from this.
Gameplay.
All right, so the first thing you do when you start this game is take 3 to 4 hours to build your party.
You do.
It's not as bad as, like, modern day character creation.
I don't. Oh, well, okay. I guess there are some.
I'm that guy who literally will like tweak the shape of my nose on my character and spend 10 minutes on it and do every single detail. This was a breeze. It was fun.
But see, today you've got something to look at. Then when you're playing this game, pretty much you're just looking at text. You roll your character as you would in D&D. Nolan's never played it before. And then you can re-roll your character as many times as you'd like to get the best stats for your character. So that takes a while. And then you name your character. And then you give your character a race, which I don't think even matters. And then a name.
Trying
and
to
you
stay
do
PC.
That for... You do that for each of your characters, and you can have up to 6 in your party? Is that what it is?
Yes,
I think it's 6.
And so you do that multiple times, and then you go into, and then you've got 1,800 gold to start, and then you've got to buy items, and it's such a slow process to buy items because you can only scroll down and buy one at a time. It takes a while.
It does take a while.
That's assuming you can even find your way to the little shop where you buy items.
Oh, come on, it's right outside of the
No, I walked out and then went into like 5 other places and got killed by spiders or bandits or skeletons or imps.
It's hard to find your way around, because I was reading about just the reception this game had, and people would draw out maps of...
Oh, sure.
Like, hand-draw them out so they can know where they're going.
I was significantly less lost in NetHack. I would have taken a top-down, no graphics at all text-based game with a map over a, like, you have to keep track of where you are via, like, faux 3D that is, you know, just those pictures of what you're seeing and which direction you're facing, and then, you know, you turn and you turn and you see a doorway or a hall or, you know, the kind of graphics that this thing gave a million times over, because it's impossible. I don't know, maybe it's just because we're coming, like, from actually having 3D environments backwards and we're spoiled. But keeping track of where you were in this game was really difficult.
Did you play the Apple II version?
I played the original version. Like, I didn't play it on an Apple II, but...
Well, yes, but...
You didn't buy an Apple II and start from there?
I'm pretty sure I did. Like, I don't know. I found
the original version. Yeah, there's so many versions, so many even early versions, it's easy to get confused as to which one
you're
actually
playing. Yeah, I don't know which
playing.
One I actually played.
I played Commodore 64.
Okay.
Which was a port, but, like, for the most part, it's just the same.
Yeah, and there are some slight differences, because I think this even made it all the way up to the Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yeah.
And there's slight differences as you go along, even not only graphically and musically, but there's some slight gameplay differences as well. But, I mean, you're still getting the gist of the game, and especially if you go to one of the early systems, the Apple II, the Commodore, you know, some of those, that you're going to play pretty much the same game.
Yeah.
Which I was completely impressed with. I said that it takes a long time to create your character, and I feel like it does, but... they've got an option in these early games and early systems to import pre-made characters from games like Wizardry and like Ultima 3. That's mind-blowing.
Yeah, and that's important to fans of this type of genre, because, like, you've got your character and you've invested a lot of time in the character, you know? And so that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah,
and
that
I was
you can
shocked.
Do that in 1985?
Yeah,
are you
crazy.
Kidding me?
Get your floppy disk ready.
I want to say, yeah, it's... I don't know. It's cool that they offered that feature for sure. It was thoughtful. It's not that, like, mind-blowing. Like, it's you have a file and then you move it.
Okay, go try to do that in other games that come out today and tell me how that works.
Kenny's such a bummer.
All right, you've got six types of characters: warrior, hunter, monk, paladin, rogue, magician, conjurer, and bard. What kind of party did you guys make? Balanced or one-sided or what?
Which time? I restarted this game like 19 times to try and find a place to heal myself or a place to buy items or anything. All right,
first time, what'd you do?
First time, I went with my typical, I don't know a game, and I've learned...
All bard?
No, I should have. In retrospect, that would have been better. I went like all warriors and then like one caster or like a monk or someone who was going to be like, I don't know. In the role-playing element of it, in my mind, was going to be like the person they were escorting. Because all warriors, you know, generally you run in and take a lot of damage and there's less learning curve. And that should be like easy mode in most games, at least like to start. You know, usually the magic and stuff ends up becoming really important, but later. And I wanted to just sort of get a taste of the game. And then like half of your party ends up being in a back row that you don't know exists because the first time you've played, you didn't feel like you needed to read the whole manual. Pro tip.
Right, and they can't strike.
And they do
nothing.
You can only
cast or guard.
Yeah, they do absolutely nothing in the back row. So you literally, in your party of six, you have three people who are like in the front and three people who are in the back. And you wouldn't have known about this, but you find out really quick when you walk into a room and half of your party is pointless. And then the other half dies.
See, I would have prepared for that because I read before I started.
Oh, you read the handbook.
I did read the handbook. I looked up some guides because I was like, there's no way I'm going into this without
planning.
Oh, I wish I had. Like, I went back and did guides later to try and get a little more progress and still didn't have a lot of luck.
Do you remember the names of your characters?
At first, I started by trying hard and like naming them like common names I use in gaming. And then I went back and was like, your name is Monk. Your name is Bard. Your name is Wizard or whatever.
I mean, I had a Ken and a Null and an Ozma and those kinds of things. But
I like that you named stuff after us before you named them after your rabbit. That's actually pretty high on
Here's the reality. I started trying to do some really cool, like, common names that I use in fantasy-type settings, but when I realized that this was taking an hour just to name my characters and create my characters, I started just naming them your names.
Yeah, it's kind of hard.
We're actually the default.
Yeah.
Nolan, what party did you start with?
I've always been a huge fan of thieves and rogues, but I understand that you don't need a ton of them, so I went with two rogues, two warriors, a bard and a magician.
Oh, that's not bad.
It sounds like a pretty balanced party, generally.
Yeah. I was reading that typically a good balance is like you don't want to be too magic heavy, just based on the way that the combat system's set up. I named them Dustin, Kenny, Nolan, Hannah, Darcy.
And which is your new dog's name?
Yeah, which is my dog's name. And
which character was the dog?
One of the rogues.
Okay.
So I was a rogue with him.
What was I?
You're a bard.
Yeah, you're a bard. You're like, my bard too.
I'll take it.
Your default character—it
Bard's
fits
tale.
Your personality.
You should take it because in this game, I mean, if you couldn't have guessed by the name, the bard is probably
it's
the most
OP.
Vital character in your party.
Yeah, he gives your entire party a buff. Like, it's incredible.
In fact, I might be incorrect. Obviously, this game and the creators didn't create the title and the role of bard that's been around for many, many centuries. But I believe that this was the first game, role-playing game like this, where a bard was a playable character.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't
know
that.
And so, yeah, and so then it became a staple in this kind of genre. May or may not be right in that. Might just be completely making that up.
We're rolling with that.
Yeah, we'll just roll with that, and then we'll re-roll with that. But the bard okay. was huge because
wow.
obviously warriors and rogues, they can attack physically if they're on the front row. Mm-hmm. Magicians and those kinds of guys can attack from the back row or the front row. But your bard, what was so key and crucial in this game is that he could be playing a song or she could be playing a song inside and outside a battle that would affect... I mean, like a bard typically does in games today, but it was... In fact, I don't think that you can beat this game without a bard. I believe that you have to have a bard in your party at certain times to play certain songs to be able to get past certain points in the game, which I think is just a really cool idea.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like they should tell you that up front so you don't have to go
read
back
the handbook, bro.
Add a lower level bard to your party. I did! Oh.
See, I feel like the player base of this game, though, would have read the...
Oh sure,
like,
yeah.
I
almost
it's
forget
not a casual
that.
Game by any means.
No, I assume I want to like jump in and play games, and I need to learn probably before like 1992 or so. Correct me on what you think a good year ought
That's
to
a
be.
Good, no, I think you're good.
You know what I mean? That like if there's a game, I need to see if there's a handbook, and I gotta read the handbook first, or it's just gonna be frustrating.
Kenny, you said you started over many times. What
so many
kept
times.
Killing you?
Everything.
I know, right?
Like getting lost, not having armor, not knowing what I was doing. And I'd learn a little bit every time about the layout of the town and where things were and how the fight system worked. But I feel like I played just enough, like blind, and then just enough actually trying post like reading the manual and knowing that I needed to go find a temple so I could heal and go find a weapon shop so that I wouldn't be getting just absolutely cremated right away, that by the time I got to that like final playthrough and was trying to do those things and actually felt like I knew what I was doing and still failing, that I went, ugh, this game might be fun if you got past the initial 3 or 4 levels and actually like had an established party and got into it. But I felt like I was just banging my head against the door trying to get off the ground.
Well, and what doesn't make it any easier is that there's only one place to save in the entire mm-hmm. game.
The adventurer's hut.
Yeah, at the very beginning.
I don't mind that. Like, in old games, that's often the case, and especially being, like, central to the town. I don't mind that as a concept, but it definitely can be practically frustrating.
Aged.
We have played many old games, and some from the 80s, and some that definitely, definitely, definitely feel retro. And this one feels like outside of that to me. It feels like I'm looking through code on a security system from the 70s or from the 80s. It's like so old. And I felt it really hard this week, and I really would be surprised if either of you said, no, I didn't feel that.
Well, I felt that it aged for sure, but I think when we talk about age, we have to remember the year that it came out. And for the year that this came out, do you guys understand that these graphics are actually remarkable?
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of unbelievable what I'm seeing is on the Apple II computer.
Oh, absolutely. They, like, milked the capabilities of these systems really well.
This is what blows me away, because I played Dragon Warrior, you know, the first Dragon Warrior, or Kenny, and I've watched you play the majority of it.
Uh-huh.
And obviously, that is a progression, and I believe that that's, I almost said many, but at least a few years later than this game. But you still have that still enemy setup and graphical, you know, like... The skeletons that I fought in this game, like, you can see the skeleton, and it looks, the image of it is really good. You can see the goblin or the different creatures, the gnomes, the different things that you fight, and they all, you see the image of it in full color, in full design. That's so impressive. And not only that, each of the bard's songs had a different melody that actually played in-game and continued in the overworld until your bard loses his voice. That's awesome as well.
Yeah. You can really notice that, the graphical aspect of it. When it opens up, there's like a, you could call it a cutscene. Because, I mean, it's showing different, like, images in the little, like, thought bubbles, but the bard is playing a song in a bar, and he, like, will periodically go and, like, take a sip from his drink. And it's, I mean, yeah, for the time, it is impressive. But the part of this game that really stands out to me as aging well, I should say aging in a unique way, is that it uses, like, imagination a lot. Like, so video games have always been visual games. Like, I mean, you look at it and they present to you some graphics, they present to you some sounds, and, you know, you interact with that visual, and you do that in this game, but there's just, it leaves so much up to the player to just picture what's going on. Like, it really does feel like a Dungeons and Dragons game.
Right, I was about to say, that's Dungeons and Dragons for you, which, yeah, you've never played, right?
I've never played the game.
To me, it felt like a Dungeons & Dragons game, but, like, without a good game master.
Wow.
It felt like you didn't know what you were doing and had no guidance, that there was story, but it was, like, shallow, or you were going to have to, like, earn it and get into it. And maybe that, you know, fleshes out later, but, like, you get dropped into this Adventurer's Guild at the beginning, and it tells you that you're in an Adventurer's Guild in a town, but it tells you nothing else going on. I found myself wanting to, like, be there and interact with this game in that way, you know, even just sort of roleplay some of these characters and things that I don't mind doing in an old and really basic game. And yet I had a hard time, like, putting myself in any context, because it was just like, plop, here's the game. If they had started with a screen of text that just told me what was going on and informed me, even just as a hint, that I really needed a bard in my party, and that I needed to probably go grab some weapons right away, you know, and just one or two other real basic guidance and give you some perspective of this world kind of things, I feel like it would have been a vastly different experience for me.
Yeah, I think you made some really good points, and especially what you said about it's a game of Dungeons and Dragons without a good DM. Dungeon Master, Nolan. I think that's a good illustration for this. And what it comes down to, I think, in regards to the agedness of this game, is that the difficulty and the lack of handholding is where the age of this game truly reveals itself. And I think you're going to feel that. Now, at the beginning, it does have some text and it does set the scene and tell you that. But other than that,
a little bit.
I don't think that it builds out the world and fleshes out the world as much as you can in games. And I think they could have even done it here and given your and allowed you to have some more creativity within that, rather than just let you off on your own. Although, like, this game spawned Bard's Tale 2 and Bard's
Long
Tale
series.
3. And like even a series of books were published based on the story and the characters found within the Bard's Tale. And in 2015, mm-hmm. a Kickstarter campaign raised over $1 million to create the Bard's Tale 4.
Yep.
Like, that's ridiculous. And that's so crazy. it was an update to graphics and engine and all of that, but it maintained the same kind, but the idea is to maintain the same kind of party-based exploration, puzzles, and combat that was original in the Bard's Tale.
Yeah. I am super interested in something like that. It doesn't even have to be part of the Bard's Tale series. Like, if there was a game that was made today that is pretty much like how this game is set up, just with fixes here and there and with a better engine and just all the things that we've mentioned, I'd totally be into that. I think it would not alienate this game so much from like hardcore D&D fans or people that like just could not go back and get into something like this just because of the difference it is from video games in general. I'd be totally into that, but I couldn't get behind it. Like, and usually I will be able to like credit a game because of when it came out and the impact it had on stuff, but I just have no input.
Yeah, I really, really wanted to like this game. Like, the genre is one I enjoy and that can be so good, and like it doesn't, you don't have to do everything, you know, like I don't even need like hand holding. I just need some kind of context at all. And I don't know, maybe it's just been too long since I've played sort of this simple version of a role-playing game, but I feel like I've played almost completely text-based role-playing games before that have felt way more accessible and way more, I don't know, contextualized and story-driven, and the kinds of things that I feel like are what make a game age well, regardless of interface and interaction and those kind of things. And that's where, despite it being old, I still had problems with the game.
We've kind of started moving there. Do you guys want to do New Game Plus status?
Let's.
The final shell shock.
I feel like I've been negative the most, and so I should probably just start because it's pretty obvious.
For both of you guys who just both shared already.
I know. We were ranting. Sometimes, like, you're there.
All right, Kenny.
Yeah, I clearly wasn't there with this one. I wanted to so bad. I really like these kind of games. Like, I do, and I'm intrigued about some of the loot you could have gotten and what happens when you upgrade some of your characters later. And like, I wanted to jump in hard on this one, and I just couldn't. I couldn't attach myself to the story and world and care enough, even though I really tried. And like, the initial setup and learning curve especially is just so steep. Like, the party, the book, literally is like, oh, a bunch of your level one characters are going to die a bunch. Don't worry, just go back and delete them and create another one and keep going. Like, it acknowledges to itself that it's too difficult in the initial setup process, and yet just didn't change anything. And it was too steep a mountain to initially climb. I feel like once I had started climbing, I probably would have gone quite a ways, but I couldn't get there. So no New Game Plus for me.
Nolan, what about you?
I don't think anyone should play it. It's popular. Like, it's, you may have heard the title of it. I don't think it's worth playing. Like, I really would rather try out Dungeons and Dragons and play an actual game of that on the table.
Which you've never played before.
By the way, disclaimer, I've never in my life played Dungeons and Dragons. Dweebs. However, I would rather play that. And I think that if you are interested in this category of gaming in general, not just video games, then I would avoid it if you didn't like love it as a kid or something, because it's just not fun. And it's like what Kenny said, it's just, it's hard to play, and I hated it.
I see two things happening right now in my mind's eye. I see the hearts of our Apple II fans breaking.
Oh my gosh!
Right before
us. I know.
And then I also see a number in the thousands of this cult following that's just rising up with pitchforks in their hands and torches ready to come and kill us.
And I understand that. Like, I say those things knowing that, and it's like, it's okay because there are people that probably hate Zelda and have never played Zelda games and don't think they're fun, and that's fine. So, like, I know that there's some pretty hardcore fans of this game. There's probably hardcore fans of any of the games we play except for Yonoid, but I say those things and stand behind them. I'm not trying to insult anybody, but it sucked.
And I've never played a D&D game.
All right, Dustin, so what do you do?
See, I think more than both of you, definitely more than Nolan, possibly about the same as Kenny. Like, I respect the Bard's Tale. I admire how advanced the Bard's Tale was for 1985.
Oh, yeah.
I even enjoyed some aspects of the Bard's Tale, but like you guys, I cannot give it my vote for New Game Plus status. While it has its charm, it's just unbelievably slow, and it doesn't give me as much narrative as I need for a game like this to capture my attention and my heart. We've mentioned it a few times, and I don't even know why fully, although NetHack, it was a 1987 roguelike dungeon crawler, I guess that's probably why, that I enjoyed more, and it had less capabilities, less graphics, but I feel like for whatever reason, it had a little bit more story, a little bit more something that was driving it, and even though I wouldn't give NetHack my vote either, I definitely don't give the Bard's Tale my vote for New Game Plus status. Well,
and the problem is partly what New Game Plus represents. It's like, hey, as a modern day gamer, is this old game worth going back to and picking up? It's not like even saying, was this game noteworthy for things that it accomplished? Or if you had played this game then, would you have enjoyed it? You know, it's not a number of those things. And so I do think, I'm with you, Dustin, probably more than it actually sounds like. There are things about this game that are like, bravo, I get it. I'm not surprised it spawned a series at all. But I just don't think I would want to touch that series until number like 3 or 4, based on just the way they handled the early ones.
Yeah. Well, we do not give this game our New Game Plus status, but maybe this will lead us to playing a game of Dungeons & Dragons together.
I'm
in.
Definitely doubt it.
Most of you either did not play this game with us this week or just refused to send in your own commentary about the game or are so immersed into the game that you couldn't even take time away to email us or write us this week. But Chad did send us a message. He said, I played the Bard's Tale trilogy on the Commodore 64 and later on the Amiga, which, along with the Apple II GS, were the best two versions by far. I'm glad that this game was even on the list. The mid-80s to mid-90s was the best era for RPG games. Thanks for playing.
What's up, Chad? I think that your input is super important here, just because of what we just did to this game and to the fan base, because it totally had its merits, and for some people it was like the best thing ever. And I think it's cool that it excites you still that we played it and that you got to play it on the Amiga and back in the day. So thanks for sending us.
I'll even agree with him that old school RPGs had something that like current modern day RPGs don't. I don't know what it was.
It's imagination. That's what I'm telling you. It's like the fact that you have to
exactly
play a role in telling your own story, which is cool.
He says like mid-80s to like mid-90s. I'd probably bump that to like late 80s to like mid to late 90s and totally agree with him. Because as a concept, I'm totally on board.
Thanks for sending in your response. If you are a viewer, you view this podcast on a regular basis, you're more than welcome to send in your commentary over a particular game that we're playing during the week. And not only that, you can send us game suggestions for us to add to the Retro Master list. These used to come in bulk, mass to us, and would take us all week to add these games. And maybe it's just because our list has gotten so large that some of you have slowed down on that. And I'm completely fine with that. But
yeah,
if you've ever got an idea of a game that we should add and we should play at some point that is 15 years old or older, please send us that game suggestion and we'll make sure to add it to the list. But for now, it is that time of the podcast for us to randomly select the next game that we're going to be playing. And that game is...
The Bard's Tale 2.
This was a game that was developed in 1971.
We played like digital tic-tac-toe.
And this was a game that was produced in 1974.
Crazy.
Well, freak.
So this will be the oldest game we've played yet.
This game is chess. No, this game is the Oregon Trail.
Oh my gosh, I love this game. And I also didn't know it was that old.
Yeah, so many versions of it. I feel like we all played like Windows 3.1 kind of era versions of this game.
Port.
You know, yeah, the one that was like in elementary schools all the time.
Yeah, on DOS, yeah.
And so interesting that it was released that early. And I may have to look for an old version, though, what we can find and which one we choose to play. Since this game has inundated so many different games.
To cook some meat. I can't wait to play this
game. I'm going
to
shoot so many bison.
I'm sure I'm going to drown in the water as I'm trying to cross it. But I guess that this game was created right after they got off the Oregon Trail. That's how old it is. So do connect with us this week on social media, Facebook and Twitter at NGP Podcast. You can listen to us directly on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Music, any podcast provider that you can get your ears on. Make sure you subscribe so you are the first to get new NGP episodes. A couple weeks ago, we did start a Patreon page where you can support us, and we in turn can hook you up with a little bit of extra NGP content. So visit patreon.com/NGP podcast for that.
Special thanks to Bradley, who is our primary supporter. He is the backbone of New Game Plus. So special shout outs to Bradley.
Thanks, dude. And thank you all who have been supporting us on Patreon. It's because of your generous support that we're able to do what we do on a continuing and progressive basis. Make sure to join us next week as we journey along the Oregon Trail. Until then, I'm Dustin.
I'm a dweeb.
Kenny's a dweeb.
And this has been Dungeon and Dragons.
No, I've never played that.
Version of New Game Plus.